Hello.
Welcome back. That is not how we start the
All right, go ahead.
podcast. Welcome to our podcast. As
As
a
a matter of
matter
fact,
of fact,
see, look at you. You tried
so
to do
Bali is
something.
just messing up everything, like total intro and everything.
No, you did that on purpose. Go ahead.
Maybe it's time we have a new intro, one that you can actually like get right.
Man, if I do the intro, I'm gonna rap because I know you can't rap. So that's, I mean, you auto it excluded. So,
I can rap. I have ghostwriters. Okay, so you don't know what I can and can't do. That's
I would believe you if I didn't know you so well. But you're not cool enough to hang with any ghostwriters. Like I'm the coolest ghostwriter you know. So.
sure.
See?
Well, I'm really happy that we're back for another episode of As a Matter of Black.
Yeah.
We had a great, great, great Black History Month and a Black History Month episode. So we just want to come back and like see what's going on with everybody in Black History Month Part 2, which is March.
Yeah, let's get into it, you know what I'm saying? Because we celebrate Black history and being Black all year long, so.
Well, speaking of being Black and celebrating all year long, I have just been coming across some really interesting like conversations around friendships in like your in adulthood. Like very interesting. Would you care to like hear about them?
I definitely want to hear what you've been talking about with people because this always goes down a rabbit hole. So let's do it.
It's really not even like what I've been talking about. It's just like what I've been seeing. Like the
Okay.
other day, I get on the internet and this girl, she's probably like in her mid-30s and she's talking about going on and on and on and raving about this quote unquote tribe. She's like, oh my God, my tribe is great. My village is great. I found a village and whatever about a village and all this stuff. They're great people. And I didn't know I needed these people. And my mom prayed for me to have days like this and people like this in my life. But there was no real detail or like context around like friends or not even friends, village and or tribe. Recently, you know, I moved to Tulsa. I don't know how many people know that. I don't know if we even talked about that on the podcast, but anyway, I recently moved to Tulsa as a big old grown adult. And I moved there. I didn't really know anybody. I had only visited Tulsa one time for 4 hours before moving there. And I kind of just was really just thrown into this like kind of microcosm of high school experience, which was, you know, my life in Tulsa. And I was a part of the program that was really talking about like friendships and relationships, but they never used the word friend. Or relationships, they always use the word village and they always use the word tribe. And they were always asking, like, if I had found my village or if I had found my tribe. And I was kind of was just like, no, I'm just trying to make friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to meet people and exchange phone numbers and had a person like contact me or respond to my text message like when I text them after we meet, which was actually really hard for me. Like, I wasn't really able to do that early on in my move. And then like I know that a lot of people like on social media also I've been seeing people like plan these trips and like these vacations like Valentine's Day or like you know pajama parties and like spa retreats and things like that. And there's like all these groups of friends and like the relationships are kind of predicated on like these kind of traditions that they make for themselves. And like they are that they consider this whole collective like their tribe. So I was just wondering, like, what is adult friendship like in 2024? Like, what represents a friend? And like, how do you go about making new friends when everybody has this like euphemism for like friendship in the year of our Lord right now, currently. Like, it's also really interesting too, because a lot of the people that I know and I care about and respect, they don't live in the same city as me. And like, our lives are very different. But like, I would consider them a friend. But like, and I think they would consider me a friend too. But when you talk to other people about like said friends, they don't, it almost feels like there's not a that there's less value in these types of friends, because it's like, oh, well, you don't talk to them every day, or like you don't talk to them all the time, and like you may not talk to them for like 6 months, and how could they be your friend? And it's like, well, because I care about them and they care about me, and like they are part of my life somehow. Like, even if we don't talk every day or all the time, I still would consider them a friend. Like, I would want to hear from them if I was having a bad time, and like I would want to be there for them if they were having a bad time. And so I think that they are my friends. But in the grand scheme of things, does society consider people like these your friend? What is a friend? Or is a friend just like a part of this tribe or a village, which is weird, like vernacular for American. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is weird. That is a weird word to use for people that you ch talk to and chat with when
Well,
you don't live with these people. These people is not a village or a tribe of yours. Like, y'all live in separate places in separate areas, and you only convene or be or hang around each other at a scheduled time. That is not the definition of tribe or village.
I disagree a little bit. Like, I get what you're saying with the definition of tribe and all that type of stuff. Like, yeah, I feel you. Like, you ain't gonna live with these people or none of that type of stuff. But I was talking. Okay, so one conversation I had was like recent, was like last week, and then the other conversation was like last year. I started the conversation I had last year. I was, hanging out at Arkansas Museum of Fine Arts with one of my friends that I was trying to recruit to do, you know what I'm saying, some work with me. And we was just sitting there talking and whatnot. And one of somebody else she knew came and joined us as we were sitting down at the museum. And she didn't know that we were going to be there. I didn't know her, but she didn't know my friend was going to be there, and my friend didn't know she was going to be there. So we just all started sitting there talking, and we was talking about how we all ended up here. And I was like, yo, I told her to meet me out here because I heard this was a good night to come out to the Museum of Fine Arts. And then we was like, well, how did you get here? She was like, somebody had messaged her like this would be a good place to meet people. And I was like, word, like this new event? That's like just started happening. And she was like, yeah. And that's when I found out that she wasn't from Arkansas. I forget where she told me she was from, but we just got to talking for about a good 30 minutes, all three of us. And I asked her in the midst of the conversation, like, what does she think about Little Rock? And she was like, it's different, which, everybody say that about places they just come to. That's not like a major city. But she was like, it was different, and she just be looking for stuff to do. She really don't be knowing where to go, hang out, all that type of stuff. And the first words that come out of my mouth, I was like, girl, you gonna try to live here long term? She was like, I don't know. And she was like, what do you? She was like, I don't know if this could be something I could make my home for the rest of my life. And I was like, first word came out of my mouth was like, yeah, in order to live here, you kind of gotta find your tribe. Like, not even thinking about it, I just said it. And my definition of tribe was like basically like, when you want to hang out with somebody and that y'all got some mutual friends, you don't have to worry about it looking like a date or looking like just two friends hanging together. You got multiple people that can hang together. You got, if you need to go somewhere for the holidays because you can't go back to your home, you're going to get invited over to this friend house. Nobody going to leave you left out. If you're having car issues, you got to call somebody and you don't feel like calling AAA, but you just need to somebody that can help you out real quick. You got this friend you can depend on, that friend you can depend on. And so I was just kind of saying, like, yeah, more about, I think a better word than tribe would be probably like having an intentional community where people like that they're friends, but everybody's looking out for each other. And you know what I'm saying? You might not This might not be a daily thing. This might not be, even a weekly thing sometimes, but it's just like people that got your best interest in mind and check for you, stuff like that. Because as you get older, the things that you expect from your friends kind of change. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like when I was 18, the things that I expected of my friends was probably like, tell me what's going on this weekend. Come do this with me. You know what I'm saying? Let's go out together. Woo-de-woo, blase, and blase. And now it's more like people that I vibe with. And we not friends through circumstance. We friends because we got a connection beyond just like, ooh, we went to school together, or we went to church together, or we worked together. Like we friends because we don't have to tolerate each other because we enjoy being around each other. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I think, like, really, when you become an adult, you start dismissing people from your life because it's like the vibe is not there. Like, yeah, we was friends for 20 years, but you on this stuff and I'm on this stuff, and my growth did put me in this direction. And so, like, I think it's just more about like knowing who you personally connect with on a level that is just like, oh, you more than just you fun to be around. Like you actually genuinely like the person that they are. And I think that's what you look for with friends. But I say all that to say this too. Some people depend on friendships more than everybody else. Like I know people who literally all they need to do is go to work, come home, clean up, make something to eat, and they can repeat that pattern 5 to 6 days a week. And then the day that they don't have anything to do, they don't mind hanging in the house by themselves. We're going to go pick up something to eat to go, or going to eat by themselves. It doesn't bother them that they don't really like know a lot of people or hang with a lot of people. They might talk on the phone to a few people. And then you got folks that like to get out and like to meet people and like to do things and do interesting stuff. And they're not homebodies and they like to socialize. And sometimes you may or may not want to kick it with people or whatever. But I think that like it's all really about the person because like some folks could just hold on to them friends forever. Like, yeah, you my homie and you live in, saying Denver, Colorado, and I'm in Pontiac, Michigan, and talk every day on the phone, and that's good for us. And we see each other once a year. And then you got the folks that like, I ain't seen you in 2 months. I'm finna come up there where you at, do that type of thing. Or, we ain't kicked it in a whole, 2 weeks. Let's go out and go do something. So it's just different levels of the friendship. But the main thing is, I like to say, the friend through circumstance thing is not really that important to most adults. And when you start outgrowing people, you start removing them type of friends out of your life, and then you start really having your real intentional community that's like, yeah, these are the people I want to be around. These are the people I trust around my family, my kids, my other friends. These are the people I don't mind blending into my other social groups and all that type of stuff. That intentional community, looking out for each other.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting what you said about like kind of the blending of things. Like, in order for a group to kind of represent a tribe or a village or even a community, there's got to be some sense of like integration. And people can't blend their friends. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people like friend groups are in are siloed. Like they're separate. Like you might got this friend group over here that like likes this sort of thing and just does this sort of thing and. Their temperament might be a little different. They don't really like meeting new people. They don't really like, you know what I'm saying, like meshing their lives with folks they don't really know. They kind of maybe are territorial. So these people over here, then you got another group of people that is they like to be outside spending money. They want to be at the bar. They want to be at the restaurant. They want to travel. They want to do this. They want to do that. Then you got another folk group of people that's like, oh, well, I'm saving for like a house or retirement, or you know what I'm saying? I spend money on investments and this sort of thing, so I can't really hang out like that. And so, I think that that's also like an interesting concept with like blending because sometimes you can't blend your friend groups. Like,
Oh, yeah, no,
maybe,
definitely.
yeah, you may be like a part of another friend group, but like these ain't really your friends. Like, there's not a sense of like closeness to them because. You only know them through this person. And then, like, it's kind of like sometimes your friends can be interconnected, but sometimes they really can't. And I do like the idea of community, though, that you talk about, because that feels a little more fitting. In communities, you don't really have to have, groups of people together. You can kind of just have, you can really actually have like just sectors of people that look out for each other, for you. You know what I'm saying? No matter where you are in an area or whatever like that. And like a lot of people's friend groups are kind of are like that as well. And that's, I think it is true when people say like you move into a new place, you like what really makes the place for you is that you have a sense of community or you have a group of friends or people that you can be social with, or there's something else that kind of keeps you in, I guess like in rotation and keeps you kind of like relevant in that city is through friendships and connections and like socializing. But I just wondered about like people's take on the whole tribe thing, and like as you get older, like you said, you need stuff from you need you expect different things from your friends. But I also wonder about as you get older, what if you got to make new friends, and like how do you go about making new friends?
Man, I say this, you know what I'm saying? I think energy is something that attracts a lot of people and pulls people in. And so your energy naturally a lot of times will attract people who want to be around you and you want to be around them. You know what I'm saying? It could literally be, I mean, I literally have made friends with folks while I'm out and I see like this guy or this girl walk into the spot. I'm like, ooh, she got cool hair, or she got a nice, like she got a shirt on. This like that's Sade on her shirt, or some type of artist on a shirt. I'd be like, I'm finna go ask them some questions. Or it's a brother walking in. I'm like, oh man, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I see you got the red, black, and green on. Okay, I'm gonna see what he about. You know what I'm saying? And then that conversation happens and it takes place. And I'm just one of them people. Sometimes you catch me out. Maybe I'm socializing and talking, and maybe I'm not. But you know, those type of things just naturally kind of happen. And I say this too, on the blending of friends thing, you know what I'm saying? But it's important to know your friends' energy. You know what I'm saying? When you're not around them, what they like. Because I'll tell you one thing, I got a homie that I don't really introduce to no new people in my life. I got a homie or two like that. I know what type of time they on. It's like, oh, you got somebody new here? I'm not going to say too much. I'm gonna appear real stuck up because I'm going to be one word answers. I'm not finna sit there and have a good conversation with this person. And I'd be like, man, you messing up the whole vibe I'm saying in my head. But I'm like, man, I should have never invited you in the first place. We good one on one. You know what I'm saying? Or it's like certain friends that you just know that like they finna embarrass the hell out of you because of they ways. You used to their ways, but they finna like somebody that's a stranger. They're gonna be like, what's up with such and such? Like, are they always like that? And then you got to answer questions like, I mean, once you get to know them, they don't really, do all this and do all that, So it's important to like kind of know your friends' energy, but at the same time, making new friends all the time. I avoid making friends with people that I work with unless I know you before that. So I'm not one of them type of people that like, oh, you're cool at the job. Now it's time to start hanging with each other. Like, nah, if we see each other out, that's one thing. But like going to hang out with each other, I try to keep work separate. So I just try to go off energy and people kind of like I said, get attracted to you and you attracted to them when y'all out and you making new friends. And social media, that's a whole nother story, but y'all know how that is. Social media is a whole different ball game. So
Yeah. And speaking of that with the energy, like that's also something I think is really important when making new friends or being introduced around new people. Like people generally tend to gravitate to people that are have likable personalities.
yeah.
Like your personality is not all that likable, people probably ain't gonna want to be around you like that. So that's definitely a good point. It was another point I had. It made me forget it. But I think those are all great tips to making new friends. And I'm glad we had this chat because I would like to know what the listeners think about it as well.
Yeah, it would be great to hear like that people's thoughts on friendships and tribes and communities and what you need in a friend at your big adult age. Because the definition, like I say, it changes the older you get. So.
Oh, I did have another point. I actually did end up becoming really good friends with a coworker because you spend like a third of your life at work just to save. So you spend more time at your job than you really do at home or with your actual friends or your spouse or whatever you have, especially if you work,
If
if you're
you
going,
physically go to work,
I mean, especially if you're in
work
the
from
office. Now, me, my life is set up different, so I don't be kicking it with nobody at work. I be kicking it with the people I actually care about. But prior to that, I used to work in an office, and it was me and it was only other one. It was one only one other black girl in or black person, period, which she happened to be a girl in my department. And at first, we weren't really fooling with each other because we didn't really know each other, and we was the only. She was the only black person for some time, and then I kind of came along, and she didn't really know like what how she could kind of what need to, how she needed to approach, getting to know me or whatever. But shortly after that, we became like really good friends, and we was like friends. We was work friends, but then we was like personal friends, and we still friends to this day. Like she was actually one of my closest friends, and I met her through work. But I think you're right about the whole work relationship thing. But sometimes it just shake out that way. And luckily, I think we worked close. We worked far enough apart to where our relationship or our friendship wasn't impacted by the job. So like, how you get maybe because I had been betrayed by people that I thought was my friends at work, just if I'm being honest. Because we worked closely together. So we worked closely together, maybe on the same project or the same department or whatever. And then we was quote unquote friends. And then there was like a sense of like betrayal because of that. But she and I worked far enough apart to where like we didn't really work together like that. We kind of collaborated on stuff, but like there was no instance where maybe, she felt like she had to throw me under the bus or like vice versa, because ain't no telling how they would have shake it out if that was the case. But we didn't have that type of working relationship, so we could be friends because we weren't so closely, working together. So maybe that's another tip for if you decide to start talking to your people, TikToking to people at work and trying to be their friends.
Nah, man, that's one of the main reasons. Like, if you naturally become friends with somebody at work, that's fine. But like pushing for that ain't that's my recommendation not to, because just of what you said, you know, say just because you're around this person at work, don't mean that they got your back or got your best interest in mind. You know what I'm saying? And so when you get betrayed by somebody, you want to, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to feel like I was stupid for even trusting this person.
Right.
You know
And
what
you don't
I'm
want to do that.
saying? Yeah, because I only known them since I started working here. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? I feel you on that for sure.
Wow. Well, that was really a great chat. I feel so much better now that I know what tribe and village and friendship means. Feel so much better. Well, I feel like there's actually a whole lot of stuff happening. We don't really have that much time to get to it all.
Well, I know you had mentioned, you know what I'm saying, you've been watching some movies and stuff lately. So what you been thinking on?
Well, I was kind of down for a couple of months here, and I really technically missed the rest of the winter, although I had enough winter for everybody, I would say. And so recently, I just had picked up some old, well, not really picked up old habits, but I just kind of went back to some of my old ways. I done downloaded Netflix and just kind of start. I downloaded Hulu, and like I actually paid for the subscriptions because I was, really going to be in the house a lot, and I wasn't really able to go outside and do anything. So I really spent a lot of time inside watching TV, which is what I had been doing anyway. But it's really like I was very intentional about like trying to watch TV, because I was like, I needed something like fun to do. So what I did was I tried to find all the movies that I could watch on that were Oscar nominated. I mean, this is a terrible, like, I don't care about the Oscars or anything like that. I really don't, but I just thought, oh, this would be fun to kind of do this kind of exercise and go through and see how many movies I could find that are Oscar nominated and just see what I think. But around that time, like, who's having all these conversations about one particular movie, one particular black film, The Color Purple. And a lot of it was around pay and like pay wages. Really, all I ever heard about The Color Purple was like the pay discrepancies and like Taraji P. Henson talking about how she almost had to walk away from The Color Purple because of the what they were trying to pay her, and just like all the other like things that the cast was experiencing that seemed to be like abnormal in the film industry world, especially when it comes to being on set. But one of the most interesting things I feel like I heard was about budgets, like movie budgets. And there was a conversation about, how the we had already known, if you follow anything about it, that The Color Purple was given $100 million movie budget. And that's how much they were given to make the movie. Well, when they opened at the box office, I don't think it did that well that opening weekend, even though it was on Christmas. Like opening weekend was Christmas weekend or whatever. And then when it all was like reconciled, it had only made like $50 million, or maybe less than $50 million at the box office, which is less than, like, literally half or less than half of what the movie was budget what they budgeted for the movie. People were having a conversation around why black films and black movies don't get high movie budgets, and this thing about like sabotage, and people are going to say, well, we can't give you a budget for this movie because the statistics say that you guys don't these movies don't do well at the box office, which is an interesting argument. But one of the things I was wondering about is like, I don't know anything about movie budgets or budgets at all, because I'm not a money girl, I'm not a numbers girl. But I found it to be really interesting that they had a really big budget, and what they did with the money budget was hire every A-lister that they could hire and just throw them in The Color Purple for the hell of it. Like, y'all had every famous black person in The Color Purple. And I didn't understand why. And I'm sure having these people, what they were doing, cameos for 15 seconds, like Whoopi Goldberg, but why was she in there to begin with for 15 seconds as a midwife? Or they were doing a bigger part, like playing Pa, like Dion Cole. Y'all had to break these people out of some money, is what I would imagine. And I'm assuming all of the money, the $100 million, went to just like paying Fantasia all the way down to paying Sierra to come back as Nettie in the at the end, come back as middle age or old Nettie. In the end, there was David Alan Greer and Tamela Mann open up the movie with a song. Dion Cole was in it. Whoopi Goldberg was the midwife. Coleman Domingo, whatever his name is Mr. Fantasia is Miss Seeley. Taraji P. Henson is Suge Avery. And why Taraji P. Henson was complaining about her not getting no money when she did the least amount of work. Like everybody in that film sang, like, and they were singers. She's the only one that was the lip singer, but she was somehow complaining about not getting enough money because she
She
was
was
talking
lip
about her.
syncing.
Yes, Taraji was lip syncing. She was
You
not
mean to
singing.
tell me, you know, it's hard out here for a pimp. She didn't get no singing parts.
I don't believe she did not sing in The Color Purple.
Oh, when you're trying to get this money for the rent.
She did not. I don't believe that was her singing. And I was very confused by that. It was
She
very
sang
confused.
with 3 6 Mafia when they won the Oscars, and they performed that song. So, I mean, but I ain't saying she just can blow like that. But I'm interrupting you, but I'm sorry.
I just wasn't convinced that she was just singing all of these songs. And so I'm just like, no, like somebody did her vocals. Somebody did. Now she might have sang Sister down to the thing because you know that was very, that's not really singing. That's just kind of talking in the sing-songy voice. Now she might have that, but they had to pay Taraji not for her singing or not for her acting, but just for Taraji's like star power. Then they had to pay Chloe Halle, one of the Bailey girls. Then they had to pay her. Nobody even knows why her was in it. There was no reason why her needed to be in the film. Then we had the Juilliard graduates, Corey Hawkins and Danielle Brooks. You guys did not need this star-studded, these many stars in this film. It wasn't that like great of a film to just download all these different famous people in it. Like that's why it was so expensive because you just spent the money on famous people, and then all for it to just be a total snooze fest, like from beginning to end, was also very disappointing. Like I would have much rather they hired people that were maybe, you know, C or D listers, people that we weren't all that familiar with, like not throughout the whole film, but just like some of these characters, like her, didn't need to be in the film. Like they could have got she instead. Like, they could have got somebody else to play her part in the film. Like, and so I think to the point about people like, you know, not giving money, these big money budgets, it's like, well, do you guys even know what to do with big money budgets? Or are you just going to layer the film and lace the film with famous people and just, you know, shine it up and just make us buy it? And like, that's not what we want. We want a well-constructed film, even if it's a lower budget with lower profile people, if those people are way more talented and just give us more like depth to the film.
I mean, see, this is one of the reasons why I tell people, well, when I say tell people, I'll be on social media complaining about it. Like, you don't have to remake everything. Like, it's okay to go back and watch the old film. I mean, and it's movies. Movies are the only thing that we ask, that we expect. Movies and TV shows are the only thing we let people just redo. Like when 50 Cent made In the Club, we never asked him, say, 10 years later, can you make In the Club again? You know, with new lyrics.
Can you do like a harder version of In the Club?
Yeah, when Beyonce did Irreplaceable, we didn't come back 5 years later and say, all right, sing Irreplaceable again, but get a new producer for it. You know what I'm saying? Like we don't do that. And so like, but people always are like asking for the same movie over and over again, and You know what I'm saying? Like, because it was so great. Like, let great sit and be great. Great ain't got to be remade. And so that's what I think the problem with this was a film that they waited 40 years later to remake. Why are you remaking something 40 years later? It was significant when it was made back then, because the book had just been released. They turned the book into a film. Steven Spielberg gets behind it. Like you mentioned at the time, Whoopi Goldberg was not an A-list actress. Oprah was not an A-list actress. This is the 80s. Danny Glover was pretty much unknown at the time. He hadn't been in a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm thinking about everybody in the film. I don't know. I don't know if that was everybody's first movie for the most part, but like it definitely probably was everybody's first time being a part of a blockbuster. You know what I'm saying? Because all those people that were in that film went on to do like bigger things afterwards. You know what I'm saying? Not bigger than Color Purple, but just bigger and better and made more money, I guess you want to say. And so they took that whole the format that they had, which was just focus on talent. I guess this time around it was like we're gonna focus on star-studded cast. And honestly, I fell asleep. You know, I knew it was gonna be a musical. And the thing about it, that's another thing. That's a lot of money to be putting in a musical. Like, come on, $100-something million for a musical? Like, the best musicals you see on like Broadway and at your local repertory theater and stuff like that, it's a lot that goes into it. But like when you start talking about $100 million, it's like, what are you spending money on? Like, are you spending money on music? Because what musicians are you hiring that cost that much? You know what I'm saying? To find somebody that can shoot it great, that's one thing, and get some actors. But we talk about singers at this point, probably about people who can sing and act. And so, like, it ain't too many people out here doing it like that. You know what I'm saying? So, musicals, man, it's always, hit or miss. The last musical I think everybody saw in the black community, for the most part, before this came out, the Color Purple musical adaptation, was Dreamgirls. What, like, real talk, what have we seen in between Dreamgirls and Color Purple, the new Color Purple, that will make you want to just sit there and try your luck at doing a musical? I can't think of one musical that hit in the movies since then. Can you?
Well, first of all, I don't watch musicals.
Yeah.
Oh,
But that's just kind of my point. It's like it's already hard to create a musical and make it a hit. The last one the black community really got behind was Dreamgirls, and that was Jamie Foxx and Beyoncé. You talking about Beyoncé, who is Beyoncé? Enough said. And then Jamie Foxx, everybody was eager to hear him sing again because he had just killed Ray. You know what I'm saying? He had just killed it and got all the recognition and awards for doing Ray Charles. It was a role in his lifetime. And then on top of that, he had been putting out albums and everything like that. You know, he's one of them people that when it comes to acting and singing, you're gonna get it from him. He can be funny, he can be serious, whatever. So that's who they put on to do that. And then another thing was Dreamgirls was big in the 80s. Dreamgirls was big on Broadway. So that's literally the story of the lady who was supposed to be the one in the Supremes, but she couldn't. And you know what I'm saying? But people have been watching Dreamgirls for years because it was off Broadway, on Broadway, all that type of stuff. And then they finally say, you know what? Enough folks haven't seen it on Broadway. We could turn this into a major hit because most of the people in the world haven't seen Dreamgirls yet. You got to go to Broadway. I saw Dreamgirls back in the day, but I saw that at the Repertory Theater. everybody, you know, don't be going to the theater to go see this type of stuff. This is when people were going to see Tyler Perry plays. You know what I'm saying? That's what kind of musical black folks want to see. You know what I'm saying? The comedy, the man dressed up like a woman, and then some good old soul stirring gospel song at the end of the movie, because everybody, I mean at the end of the play, because everybody then came to God. You know what I'm saying? That's black folks' definition of a good musical right there. Them early Tyler Perry plays. And so, like, I think, yeah, they basically set themselves up for failure because the movie had already been made. The movie was already currently streaming on HBO Max, the regular Color Purple. And then they went back and tried to get everybody into this musical. Some folks didn't know it was a musical. Some folks were upset because of how closer it was to the book. So I was like, some of the themes and subject matter in there. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm just repeating myself. We don't go to the movie theaters to watch musicals. We just don't do it. You know what I'm saying? We want to see some singing. We go to a concert. We might go to church. We might go to the club somewhere. But we normally don't go to the movie theater to hear no singing. And you know, it was great on Broadway. It did what it did. But I personally fell asleep watching the movie. I still haven't finished it. But I'm rooting for it. Like that's the only other thing about it is just because I fell asleep, I still want it to be successful. You know, so I'm to your point about, you know what I'm saying, they don't want to give black people the budget for stuff like this. I mean, it's a million other filmmakers out there that got great films that deserve a chance to get like a tenth of that budget.
Right,
You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? You don't set us up for failure by spending $100 million on something and just knowing that the black community gonna come out and make you $500 million off of it. It's a musical. It's a musical.
And it honestly wasn't that well put together as a movie. It probably was a great film. I mean, a great musical on Broadway. But it just didn't translate well in theaters.
Because Broadway is set up for the musical. It's set up for the fast-paced movement on stage type of vibe. All the dancing and things of that nature, and the choreography and the singing. You got a whole band coming through on Broadway playing this music. You're getting the live effect of it. You know what I'm saying? The stage is being used in a way to keep you captivated, and you don't want to miss this and that because of the lighting and things of that nature. You take all of that away with a movie with all of that singing and stuff in it, because it's like now you got folks singing in the field. You know, there ain't no spotlight on this person standing in the grass singing. You got dance numbers and choreography. I mean, yeah, but you know, people like to go see good acting, and you know, I think, like I say, it was just putting too much on black people to expect them to come see that one film that you decide to give that $100 million budget to, and then in turn, it's a musical versus all the other stuff that could be coming out, new stories. You set yourself up because now you're doing this after the pandemic. Before the pandemic might have been a whole different case. But folks make sure when they go to the movie theater, it's that one film they want to go see at the movie theater. Because now you can go to the movie theater and see a film. And then guess what? A month later, it's streaming on HBO Max. It's on Netflix.
Which is also wild. That's wild too.
Yeah. And so it's like, do I really want to go spend, for one, take somebody with me, spend $50, $60 at the movie theater to see a film that I can't rewind. You know what I'm saying? Or do I want to just wait till it come to one of these apps? Because especially if it's doing low box numbers, then it's going to be on there, like I said, within a month probably. So that and then that's what they did too. So now, not only that, you put it on HBO Max, you know ain't nobody going to the theater now to see it. Why? Why leave the comfort of my house? to go watch this in the movie theater and spend my money when I could just put it on HBO Max, go to sleep, pause it, rewind it, run it back. I'm like, man, you just took all the power for the movie to make any type of money. We ain't buying DVDs. We ain't buying no VHS. We not downloading the movie. Come on now. They did that to themselves, man. Because I guarantee you, it came out right during the holidays. So everybody, if they wanted to go do something, the movie theater is one of the things you want to do during the holidays, because just, you know, that's the one place that's not closed on Christmas Day and stuff like that. But you didn't even leave it in there long enough to even see what it could do. Some movies, it take a while for it to generate, you know, saying some buzz or whatever. But man, folks went on social media, them reviews didn't help it. No, people was coming back disappointed. And I was like telling people, like, man, don't do that. Don't shoot the movie down, man. Like, y'all mad about this, mad about that. Y'all ain't read the book. Y'all didn't know it was gonna be a musical. Like, go. I'm not gonna be mad if I spend my money and I know what it is, what it's about. But if you did know what it was about, that's your fault. You know what I'm saying? I knew it was gonna be a musical. You know what I'm saying? But I also knew, like, I ain't got to rush to the movie theater to see this either, you know. So
I feel like this is another great conversation, and one that we should probably like keep tabs on, because I want to know about like these types of things. I feel like this was the most like kind of publicized, maybe it's been more publicized before, but I think that there were so many conversations around like money and budgets and stuff with this movie that it really peeled back the layer, you know, for a lot of us.
Well, yeah, and when you start complaining about something not making no money in the year 2024, good luck complaining, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, man, inflation, it's inflation like a mug out here right now. I don't even want to see no celebrities on TV telling me to donate to a cause. Like, please, y'all get together amongst yourselves with y'all, you know what I'm saying, $33 billion combined, with all y'all salaries, which I make annually, and go fix that problem y'all talking about.
Because and leave take us out the group chat.
You say what?
Take us out the group chat.
Take us out the group chat. You know, so straight up, I don't even want to, don't ask for my money at this point, because like, I got choices to make where I want to go spend 30, 40, 50, 60, 100, 200, 300, 400, $500. Where I want to spend it at, I got choices. You know what I'm saying? So like, if they mad about it, hey, oh well, you know what I'm saying? Make a movie, make another movie. Y'all the ones get these budgets. We're not obligated to make y'all profits, you know what I'm saying, off of this. You know what I'm saying? So it's tough, it's hard out here, but I wish somebody would give me $1 million just to play with, to come up with something creative. I guarantee you, if I get $1 million, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna spend about 100,000 of it, and I'm pocketing 900,000 of it, because I don't need to do something successful. I don't need $1 million. I can do it on a small budget, and I can put the rest in savings.
That is a great point. I'm not that creative, but
nah, I mean, I trust me, you will get creative if somebody put seven figures in your account. And until you do some creative, I guarantee you gonna find out how creative you are. That money gonna make you go get your juices flowing. You gonna start thinking all type of things, like, ooh, okay, I can do this, I can do that, I can do this. I can flip it here. Man, as an artist, I would love to have $100 million of a budget to do something, because I would do something great for $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Had whole city out. I put the man. Rustin was a very small budget. that film screening. I mean, 200 people showed up on a Monday night. Man, please, I ain't had no budget. So
no budget. That is actually
no budget.
Well, if anybody's listening, Osiris just needs $1 million for his big idea.
Please.
If there's any investors. Well, you know, we were talking about earlier getting taken out of the group chat. I feel like one other thing I want to be taken out of the group chat on is the rap beef between the between I feel like rap beef in general, or like celebrity beef in general, but especially like rap beef, especially like female rap beef, it's all becoming a bit exhausting. Because you can barely keep up with it and you don't know why they're beefing. And it's also weird because they're beefing after they've had songs with each other. So it's like confusing. I know that like recently Meg Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj were beefing, and everybody was saying that like first some song that Nicki released was like a diss, a Megan diss. Some line in it was like a Megan diss. And then Megan comes out with a new song, and then they're like, oh, this is a Nicki Minaj dish. And then Nicki Minaj makes an actual diss track for Megan. And then there's all this like speculation about like who's beefing and why they're beefing. But I thought that they were cool and like that they had a song together at some point, like when Meg first came out. And then, like, with Nicki Minaj in general, it seems like she is sort of, like, the catalyst for getting to all of these fights. Like, I know that, like, her and Cardi B had a song with the Migos and all of them. And then her and Cardi B fell out. Now they hate each other. They can't work together. Well, now Cardi B and Meg are basically, like, the City Girls, but, like, of a different age. Because they have, like, all these tracks together and, like, all these, like, videos and stuff together. But now Meg and Nicki got beef. And then, like, Nicki had beef with Remy Ma, like, a long time ago. And I just feel like that the female rap demographic is so small and it's so niche that, like, they don't benefit from arguing and, like, bickering and fighting with each other or making, like, diss tracks that are, like, terrible, because Nicki Minaj's, like, latest diss track was really bad. But I feel like it would make so much more sense if they were actually like getting along and could join forces and could go on tour together and could have like a women MC hip hop, like old school affordable tour. Like everybody could just perform and it'll be like a huge festival, and it could be like Yo-Yo and like Queen Latifah, MC Light, and like Spinderella Nim and Salt and Pepper and like Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, and like everybody can perform, because like I feel like women are actually doing the best in hip hop right now. Like the women are actually hotter in hip hop than like the guys are. Like back in the day, like we ever heard about was like men, but now like a lot of like women are really, you know, starting to like be in the forefront of hip hop as like the genre. And so I think it stinks that, like, one, we have to be in the group chat when they have beef, because we don't want to be in the group chat. And two, they can't get along. And so it really does, like, it kind of thins out the women in hip hop. It makes us have to, like, pick a side, or it makes us have to only be consumed with, like, the beef and not the music, not the looks, not the business part of it. And I don't want to be in the group chat anymore. That's what I decided.
Oh man, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what it is about Nicki Minaj, but she stayed beefing, you know what I'm saying, with people. And I really think that, you know what I'm saying, she's slick. We kind of like Got some hater type of vibes on our mind, man, because it's like, you know, you at the time when Nicki Minaj like first dropped came on the scene, like I really can't think of like what other female rapper was just really getting the attention. Like it was obvious that she had, you know what I'm saying, has been influenced by Lil' Kim a little bit. Well, I can say a little bit. Definitely influenced by Lil' Kim. And they had things back and forth. But, you know what I'm saying, I took it kind of like Kim is, you know, won't want her roses and want her respect and pay homage, because you know you doing my type of style of rap. You wearing outfits like me. You know what I'm saying? You walking in the footsteps, basically. And so I think everybody was kind of like, all right, you know, OG wants some respect. BG, go ahead and do that. But then, like, here lately, you know, we seen, like, the rise of Nicki Minaj. You know what I'm saying? She became bigger than rap. You know what I'm saying? She became a pop star. Well, that boom, ba dim, boom, boom, ba dim, boom, hey. I'm like, you getting played on. You getting play on the white folks station now. You know what I'm saying? And you Barbie this and all of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? You became super animated and this whole character. Like, I don't even know, like, how it all happened, but it did. I mean, when you was just, was it Young Money? You know what I'm saying? You was just like the chick in the group. It was like that for years. That's how all the rap labels had did it. Like, you know, Bad Boy, they had Lil' Kim. Rough Riders, they had Eve. No Limit, they had Mia X. You know what I'm saying? Busta Rhymes crew, Flipmo Squad, they had Rod Digger. You know, so it was like all that, like, for the 90s on through, like, the early 2000s and mid-2000s or whatever. You know what I'm saying? We just seen women rapping, and they was, like, in the all-boys club. And now you got all these women popping out independent. They don't even, like, they might be just signed to the label. They ain't got no rap crew backing them, and it's different now. Like, that's why I like, my girl from Memphis, Glorilla. Like, she did something that, like, I ain't seen no other female rappers do in a long time. When she popped out with at the red light, twerking on them headlights, whatever the name of that song, FNF, yeah. When she came out with that song, she put all the homies in the video. I'm talking about, she ain't had no guys in the background in the video, like they was her security or like her gang or nothing. No, it was like, you know what I'm saying? It was like she came through with, like, I'm coming through with the all girls club now. And then on top of that, she from Memphis, you know what I'm saying? She got a lot of that gangster boo in her, which, like I mentioned, another girl rapping with all the guys except 3 6 Mafia. They, you know, they actually had two women repping, Gangsta Boo and La Chat. So they was a little bit different because they had two women out there doing anything as rappers. But Glorilla, she came through with what? K Carbon and, but I love that one girl named Lisa and Slimeroni. Ah, Slimeroni? That's a name right there. You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but yes.
But you say what?
I have no clue what you're talking about, but go. But we're listening.
Okay, but yeah, she came out with the song Shabuya, yeah, Shabuya Roll Call, and then it was all her homegirls rapping. She was like, "My next big song, all my homegirls gonna come rap with me." They was in the video, y'all saw them in the video, but now I'm gonna put them on tracks with, and like they touring because of her. So right. And to me, like, that's why I'm paying attention to Glorilla, curbing on curbing. My issue layers, ho, curbing on curbing. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying attention to her because she's showing all the women, like, look, we ain't even got to compete with each other. Let's all run to the bag together. You know what I'm saying? Let's write invoices to each other. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying you, you paying me, you paying me. Like, she's showing y'all, if y'all really want to monopolize the situation, do what these dudes was doing the whole history of hip hop. I'm coming through with my crew, my boy down the block, he rap with me, my man upstairs in the apartment, He make my beats for me. My guy right here, DJ for me. When I want a feature, I'm putting you on a song with me. And then when I get on, then we form our own group and we make money like that. She follow the same blueprint. She ain't bringing no dudes with her. She bringing all the homies. And if the rest of the women got on board like that, like you said, y'all running the rap game right now. But imagine if y'all ran the rap game like they ran it in the 90s. Biggie Smalls, when he came out, he was like, I'm going back to get all the homies. But what he got? Junior Mafia. You know what I'm saying? Like Cam'ron, he was like, you know what? I got some success with my song now. What I'm going to do? Dipset? G-G-G-G-G-G-G-Unit? What 50 Cent go do? Grabbing Lloyd Banks, grab Tony Yayo. I'm gonna go down and get the South popping right now. I'm gonna go down to Nashville and get me a hot rapper from Nashville. It's all the guys who get this money.
Which is
It's
right.
just been that way over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So why y'all beefing when y'all really could be putting your homegirls on? And
You really
the best part about it is your homegirls don't even really got to know how to rap. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying that about Glorilla, that like in her game, they all flowing. But I'm just saying, like, if that ain't their talent, they can move on at some point. But I'm just saying, like, these dudes will hire people to write for their homies. You know what I'm saying? So y'all could do the same thing, but that beefing is just wild to me because why are y'all arguing over who's the queen of this and queen of that? Y'all could just be all getting the money
it all be
eliminating the men from it. Or y'all could be on some real feminine power and eliminate the guys from the situation. Of course, you can't do it from the label perspective, but as far as like the attention and the fame, the show money, oh man, y'all could be on a whole nother echelon. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. So I just think that we should, run a campaign to encourage the rap beef girls to not beef anymore and create a mega rap girl group.
Yeah.
I think then maybe we'll be able to get $1 million from that idea.
No doubt.
And then once we pitch that idea, maybe from the proceeds, they can pay us the $1 million we need so that you can get your idea off the ground. And I think that is going to be the best plan of action for us.
Yo, I see your vision. I rock with you. I want me some money. You know what I'm saying? I want a few commas. You know what I'm saying? And hey, I'll be the mediator in the situation. Come to Big Bro. Big Bro love you too much to see the sisters beefing. Little sister. Big Bro love you too much, little sister, to see you beefing like this. Come to Big Bro. You know what I'm saying? Rest assured, you in the arms of strength. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, that's what I want to do. And then
I think
why not get a million like you say, you know?
or maybe not more. Maybe you get me in. I get $1 million, and then we could just go on and just have our own separate paydays, and then I can write you an invoice. You can write me an invoice. Just keep it in the family.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Let's like a man though, let's keep this in the hood, boo. Let's keep this in the hood. This between me and you.
Like practicing cooperative economics, like on steroids.
Cooperative economics on steroids. We talking about big pockets. Big pockets. You know what I'm saying? The purse come first. That's what they told me.
Wow, I never heard that, but I'm gonna use that from now on.
The purse come first. That's what Pimp said.
Am gonna
Pimp C
use
said that the purse come first.
this. Is very much so off topic, and I know we're about to wrap, but I just heard a UGK, like a full UGK album for the first time, and I was like, What was I doing with myself and my life?
Oh man, you was being negligent.
Yes, like I had no idea. Like I had no idea how great of an album. Like I just had missed been missing it from the whole time in my whole life.
It's a reason Bun B still touring solo. UGK got some legendary music, man.
It was a super tight was the one I was listening to, and I was like, I need to actually just go and listen to more of their albums.
What made you go listen to that?
It was just playing. Like it was just I wasn't actively seeking it out. It was just playing, and I was like, oh, this sound like, sound like Bun B or whatever. And then I went to go get it, and it was just the UGK album, like playing. It was just playing on, like, not on shuffle or anything. It was just like playing from beginning to end.
Oh man, you done went down memory lane and found that super tight. I mean, that's their second album, so you know what I'm saying, they came through with Pocket Full of Stones Part Two, front, back, side to side. Oh man, you was in a nostalgic place right there.
Well, I committed to listening to another UGK album because I really like them, but I guess I've only known their singles, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, better late than never. So I'm glad that you finally got your chance to hear some UGK, because I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
Well, what I'm shocked about is that we did an amazing job doing a podcast episode and we didn't go like to like 2 hours.
Man.
So I just want to go ahead and just say I'm so happy that we have listeners who love to listen to our podcast. We appreciate everybody for checking in and for downloading and liking and listening to our podcast. We are committed to making bigger and better episodes, more frequent episodes this year. So as always, just kind of, reach out to us on Facebook. I mean, sorry, on Facebook, my Instagram and Twitter, and let us know what topics and or what guests you want us to have.
Yeah, definitely. We need y'all help, you know what I'm saying? 'Cause we can't, always talk about what we want to talk about. We gotta talk about some things y'all want to talk about too. So, hey, tap in and make sure you know what I'm saying, you send us your suggestions. Can we do that on the poll or the question and answer portion of the show? Like, what do you want to hear us to talk about?
Yeah, like I think they have it on the poll where they can, where it's open-ended. So I'll do a question on the Spotify poll and they can let us know what they want to talk about.
Yeah,
Because
man.
then that means the listeners will help us produce the show, and then they can really be a part of the show.
Hey, don't y'all want some ownership? Don't y'all want some stake in this? I say, why not?
Well, I guess until next time, we'll see you guys later.
Peace.